I have on the line right now Dr. Louise Byrne from the Central Queensland University. A very good morning to you, and thank you for coming on the program.
Thanks very much. Thanks for having me.
Doctor, you recently had a press release that was focusing on suicide, a very tragic part of the way the lives end for some people, and you're saying that in regional and remote areas, some of that's being a little bit overlooked as well.
What research shows us is that we have less access to services in rural, regional, and remote areas. Obviously, there's the tyranny of distance, but also we tend to attract less specialised health providers of any kind, including mental health service providers. So there's difficulty in that respect. And just in terms of talking about health and particularly mental health issues, we tend not to, generally the population tends not to talk about mental health, but particularly in rural and regional areas, we tend not to discuss these issues.
It's a very man thing in remote areas, you know, whatever it is that, not just mentally but physically, you know, you may have sliced half your hand off with a piece of, on a barbed wire fence or something, and from a young boys, men are taken to say, man up a bit and it'll be right, you'll get over it and get on with the work. So it's a mindset, not just on a physical aspect but also on a mental aspect from a young age.
Absolutely. Look, I've seen it in my own family as well, Greg. My great-granddad very famously stitched up his own face with, some sort of thread and a shaving mirror when the horse kicked him in the face. So I've grown up with that kind of almost mythology around how tough we need to be, in our lives. And I still feel, even though I work in a lived experience role and my whole thing is that I'm paid to demonstrate that it's okay and that you can heal from mental health and talk about those kinds of issues, there are still moments when I cringe and think, and feel embarrassed that I'm sharing these things and weak and like there's something, kind of wrong with me. And I work through it and I'm paid to work through it, but I can only imagine for people who aren't and who are in very different kinds of positions, and particularly men, it is very, very challenging to even consider opening up about what's happening emotionally.
Because people are afraid. That's their greatest fear, that another human being may know exactly, what's running through their mind. And there's all, from a young age, that fear has been instilled because, somebody might tell somebody else. And this whole mental health stigma thing has gone back for a long, long time as to how we've handled it as a society, not just in Australia, but, way back in the early days of England to wherever. And at the end of the day, people have been taught to be afraid of it.
Absolutely, Greg. Look, my belief, and I think it's a fact, everyone has mental health. Everyone has better and worse mental health at different points in their life. The great tragedy, and I think also the silliest thing we do as a society, is to continue to not talk about these issues, to make it a taboo. When you are in an environment where you can talk about the fact that you're struggling with your mental health early, there's much less reason for things to get bad because you feel connected, you feel supported. You understand that everyone around you has these kinds of experiences as well. The longer we don't speak about it, the more silent we are, the bigger it gets, the more frightening it becomes, and the more we become convinced we're the only ones, that there's something significantly wrong with us that can never be fixed, and we create a worse situation than it needs to be. I think the wonderful thing when we do share, when we do start to talk about mental health like it is a natural part of the human experience, which of course it is, then not only are we sharing the burden, but we're also sharing the triumph. So I can say to someone, oh, hey, yeah, I felt like that last year and this and this and this helped for me. And they might not do the exact same things, but one, they know that they can move on from the space they're in. Two, they might start to trigger some ideas for themselves. And three, and probably most importantly, they know they're not alone.
The other aspect of it is that to open up and tell another professional, let's say, or it could be a support worker, about what's happening, many of the people in the industry do not have a lived experience. And, even right at the top, the very top psychiatrists don't have a lived experience. They have little insight into really what is happening with that person. I even read that Carl Jung, in his Red Book, goes on to explain that he had psychotic episodes over an 8-year period. Now, all that's always been kept covered up, and until just recently, people with lived experiences are coming out working in the field and kicking goals that have never been done before.
Yeah, I guess it's always been that stigma issue again, that fear of people judging you and of seeing you as not credible. So I think there are, one in two people we're seeing the new stats are going to have significant mental health challenges in their lifetime. So it makes sense that a significant part of the mental health professional workforce has their own lived experience. But for the largest part, they don't feel able to disclose that. And unfortunately, there's all this valuable knowledge that's not being used. And instead, we're continuing to almost vilify the experience of struggling with your mental health. When people are able and enabled to step up and say, and come out and say, I've had mental health challenges, it really decreases that sense of it being something, you know, frightening. It really, really impacts on stigma and discrimination. And if people within the profession were able to be more open about their experiences, and if the profession itself or the mental health professions were able to be more led by lived experience understanding, then we would, of course, have a service system that was more responsive to the real needs of people accessing services.
Louise, I like your terminology, mental health challenges. Too often people say mental illness, and when they say mental illness, they're putting a label on somebody that says basically they have a mental illness, they're going to have it until the day they die, and nothing is going to change. Whereas a mental health challenge is just a challenge for a short period of time sometimes, and things get back on track.
Absolutely. That's why I use that language. To me, it's a challenge that will be overcome in time. And I think it's so important. As a girl, when I was a teenager and first given a diagnosis, I was told that my chances of living a normal life, of having a family and a job and all that sort of thing, were slim to nothing, and that I should give up on that idea. Luckily, I didn't. But that's what a lot of people were being, and to some extent are still being told within the system, that gaining this diagnosis means that your chance for a meaningful life is over. And it's absolutely not true. No matter how significant your mental health challenge is, anyone can go on to live a life of meaning beyond the constraints of that diagnosis. And that's the message that I would like to see out in the media more, in public education more, and within our service system.
We'll get to the point where someone has tried everything, they're at the end of the line, they're afraid to tell somebody the situation they find themselves in, and suicide is only seconds away. What would you say to that individual?
You don't know what you don't know, and you cannot know today what tomorrow or next week might be like. I've been there so many times, Greg, over and over again over the years. And God, I tell you what, I'm so glad that I didn't. I'm so glad I wasn't successful. I'm so glad I'm still here. I have an important role within my community, and I have important things to share, and so do each and every one of those people. They have gifts that will go undiscovered, and no matter how dark, no matter how bleak today seems, you really cannot know what's around the next corner. I'll tell you what, when I was a teenager with, you know, drug and alcohol problems, homeless, and, you know, told that I had a mental illness for life, if someone had told me then that I would be a doctor in lived experience mental health one day and be on the radio giving people advice, I would have laughed them out of town, but it happened. And anything is possible as long as you are still alive.
I was very tempted to call you Dr. Louise Hay just out of a joke, but I would like to thank you for sharing all those experiences with us here on the radio. It's been an enlightening interview, and I feel like it's been a special gift, not only to myself but to for those people listening, to have been able to share those thoughts of yours.
Thank you very much, Greg. I hope it helps somebody out there.
Thank you.